Good morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I can take that much excitement today. It's good to see all of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here. Let me just remind you of a few announcements. Be sure to remember choir practice this afternoon at 5 o'clock, small groups at 6 o'clock. If you're part of the Foundations of the Faith in the Good News Classroom, the handout is back on the back at the sound booth, so be sure and pick that up. Wednesday night services here at the church at 6 o'clock, children's classes, teen classes, adult Bible study in Hebrews, and then prayer time Friday morning at 9 o'clock. The Lift Christmas Brunch is Saturday at December the 2nd at 10:30 in the Fellowship Hall in the main building here. So be sure and remember that. Ladies, as you come in, we're going to be having another of the district Christmas ministers and mates Christmas dinner. We'll be down in the Family Life Center, so you'll probably want to park over on this side in behind the church. So be sure and remember that next Saturday morning, Lift at 10:30. And then Bread of Life, we'll be cooking for Bread of Life Saturday afternoon. The sign-up sheet is in the foyer, and you need to have those items. All the items are signed up for, I believe, and you need to have those items here by Wednesday night. So be sure and remember that. The Christmas Store is going to be December 4th and 5th. Thank you so much for the way that you support the Christmas Store. It is a blessing, and I don't know how many I'm looking for. Linda, how many do we have signed up thus far? About 76 people already signed up. So thank you for that, and may God bless you. And if you want to bring some stuff, I bet Linda will take it all the way up until. Linda and Carolyn and that group, they do such a good job with this, and we do appreciate it. Our church Christmas dinner is December the 6th. That is Wednesday evening. That will be happening at our regular time on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. And so you come and be a part of that. If you are cooking a turkey or a ham, you know who you are. And you can pick those up next Sunday. And they'll be ready for you to pick up. And if you are cooking a turkey, please be sure and do the dressing as well. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a good time. So be sure and remember that December the 6th. And it'll be a great time as we come together as a local body of believers to celebrate Christmas. Tomorrow is a very special day for a young man in our midst. Somebody is turning 30 tomorrow. He's just a baby. Pastor Tyler is having a birthday tomorrow. And Pastor Tyler, as you come up this morning to begin to lead us in worship, we have something that we just... That's right. It is choir time, isn't it? Come up here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Bless you, Tyler.
Worship His holy name. Stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll worship together. Father God, we're thankful for this day to gather in your house and worship you. We're thankful for this holiday season that we've entered into. But God, today we are here for a very specific purpose. And that purpose is to engage you in worship. And so God, this morning, I pray that you would help us to do that very thing. God, that you would help us to understand that our worship is not dependent on our feelings. It's not dependent on the situations that we find ourselves in, but it's dependent on the constant nature of you. And so, God, I pray this morning that you would help us to realize that it's not our circumstances, it's not our feelings that we're worshiping. It's God in heaven who still sits on the throne and is still in charge and still in control, regardless of what we may be facing or what we're going through. So, God, this morning, I pray that you would come, that you would meet with us in this place, and that we would know that we are in your presence, and that we would walk away from here today a changed people. God, for everything you do, we'll give you praise, glory, and honor for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
I see.
this next hymn we're going to sing is quite honestly probably one of my favorite hymns of all time. It's just got such a heartfelt, true message all the way through it, and it just encompasses so much what we believe as Christians. But probably my favorite verse in the whole song is the second verse. It says this, it says, "How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy that it gives." You know, as a parent, a lot of times I sit around and think about things, and I think, what kind of world have I brought my children into, and what kind of world are they going to have growing up, going forward? But that's not where that verse ends, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we don't have to just sit around and wonder and worry and wring our hands and hope that things are going to work out, because it says, but greater still, the calm assurance. This child can face uncertain days because he reigns. You know, we don't have to worry about what this world, what's going on in this world, because we know who holds tomorrow, and we know that he's still going to be in control regardless. And so as we sing this morning, I want us to just keep that in mind, that we're worshiping a God who's on the throne. It doesn't matter what's happening in the Middle East. It doesn't matter what's happening on the political scene in our own country. The God that we serve is still the God that has all the answers, and he's still on the throne, and he still hears and answers the prayers of his children. Thank you. say something. I kind of have a hard time letting this song pass by without saying something. When we think about the goodness of God in our lives, for me at least, it quite often becomes pretty overwhelming. When I think about all the things that God has done for me over 30 years of life, I have to kind of stop and say, why did you do that? What did I do to deserve that? Why did you intervene in my life in that way when I couldn't have deserved it any less? I can also look back at times when I thought that God wasn't moving and that He wasn't doing what I thought He should be doing. But now, when I look back at those times, I can see that those times had a purpose. The second verse of this song says, I love Your voice. You've led me through the fire. In darkest nights, You are close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. I've lived in the goodness of God. I'm thankful that the God that we serve is not a God who just is with us when we're not going through the fire, but that even in the darkest of nights, even when it seems like all hope is lost, that He is still with us, and we can know Him as a father, we can know Him as a friend, because God is so good in our lives. And if He never does another thing for us, then He's still done more for us than we could have ever began to deserve or imagine. I'm thankful for that this morning. Every breath that I am able,
Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit has been so close as we have worshiped you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are greater than the problems and the circumstances that we may face. Thank you, Lord, that because you lived and because you died, we can know you in a real and a personal way. And Lord, we have experienced the goodness of God. How good you are to us. A simple thank you is not even adequate, Lord. What we have to do, what we must do, is offer ourselves as living sacrifices to you. And in this service this morning, God, we ask that we would indeed do that. But Lord, we don't want it to be just for a moment in time. We don't want it to be for just this moment in time. We want to worship you and we want to praise you with every part of our being. As Pastor Tyler said just a few minutes ago, not because of our circumstances, not because of situations, but because you are God. And we worship you. And we praise you. And we give you glory and honor for the opportunity that we have this morning to worship you in this time. But now, Lord, we move into a time in which your word is proclaimed. I pray, Father, this morning that you, through your Spirit, would give unction and give power as only you can. May Pastor Tyler this morning, as he speaks to us, may he not just speak the words that he might want to say. We know he's prayed and we know he's struggled before you this week. So I ask you, God, that you would anoint him fresh this morning. And that you would help him as he preaches today, that it might be the very words of God to my heart, to the hearts of this congregation. May we leave here this morning being changed people. May we leave here this morning knowing that we have been in your presence. It has been so good. But there are people outside the doors of this church that don't know you, don't realize your goodness. May we go from this place this morning into the mission field to tell the goodness of God. Bless those who need your touch this morning. Bless those who need your physical touch, who need your spiritual touch. May this time be very special because of your presence and your power. And for what you're going to accomplish, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name.
Well, tomorrow is my 30th birthday, and let me tell you, I feel every day of it. I know. There are lots of moans and groans and people who are currently uncomfortable in their seats, but it is what it is. I'm telling you, I don't bounce back nearly as well as I did 5 or 10 years ago even. So I don't know what that looks like going forward for the next 30 years, but it's not very hopeful. Anyway, this morning we're going to kind of bring this series that we've been working on to a close, The Road Less Traveled. And up to this point in this series, we've kind of traded on the assumption that you're traveling this road less traveled and that you knew how to get there. But this morning, I don't want us to leave this series without making sure that we have all the pieces and parts and the tools that we need to travel this road less traveled. So this morning, I'm going to be very simple. It's going to be easy as ABC. And we're just going to kind of work through it real quick. Not real quick. I don't know. We'll see. It depends. Don't blame me. Blame God. It's his fault. Anyway, that's what we're going to look at this morning together as we bring this series on the road less traveled to a close. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says this. It says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins." This morning I want us to understand that there are some things that we have to do in order to call ourselves Christians, really. There is this prevailing thought in the society that we live in that you can just be a really good person and make it to heaven. And I want to tell you, that's true. There's truth to that. Before you burn me at the stake for being a heretic, though, here's the thing. You just have to be a really good person, perfect from birth every single day of your life. And so I don't think any of us are there. I know that there are those who would think that I am perfect. Brianna is one of them. But contrary to popular belief, I am not. So what does that mean then if we can't get to heaven by being a really good person? That means that we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning I want us to just kind of work through what it means or how we get to this relationship with Jesus Christ. Like we just read in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, everyone has sinned. That means you, that means me, that means every single person on this earth and every person that will be on this earth going forward. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Can I tell you where this kind of has to start? In recovery circles, they will tell you that the first step to recovery is admitting that you have a problem. And that's exactly where this starts. Everyone has sinned, even you. That means that in your sin, you are an enemy of God. We've all fallen short of the standard that God has put in place. The thing is, though, it's completely understandable that we've fallen short of the standard because God Himself is the standard. You might ask, how do we know that? Well, it's pretty simple. If we believe that God exists, then there has to be a standard by which we live. That standard has to be separate from and above anything that could be manufactured by mere humans. The standard that we must live up to could be nothing other than God. However, our living up to that standard is problematic because of one thing. Sin. Sin is a transgression of the known laws of God. Simply put, it's when we do something that we know is wrong. When we intentionally choose to break away from the standard that God has put in place, that's sin. Sin is an active rebellion against the Creator of the universe. That puts some weight on it. It's a willful choice to disobey God. It's when we determine that we're going to do things on our own instead of following God's direction and God's plan. Sin separates us from God. In our sin, we are under the dominion of the kingdom of darkness. When we fall short of the standard and sin keeps us from measuring up, we do fall short of the standard, and sin keeps us from measuring up in our own power. We're born into this world with what theologians would call a proclivity or an inward nature towards sin. It's not something we learn. It's not something we pick up over time. It's something that is innate and dwells inside us from birth. Now, I know this is hard for you to believe, but we are not born basically good. I know when the little baby pops out and is so adorable and cute that you're thinking, oh, this is just God's perfect little creation, and there could be nothing but good that comes from this, which is true for about the first 4 hours or until nightfall comes, whichever comes first, or the first dirty diaper or whatever. You know when you have to change that first diaper that this child was a direct result of the fall. And there's no other ifs, ands, or buts about it. But anyway, what I'm saying is we are born with this nature to sin. We're not born basically good. We're born basically sinful. Because of our sin, we deserve one thing, and that is death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Here's what we need to understand. We earn pay for the work that we do. When we work a job, we're paid a salary. That's a fair wage for the work that we do.
because of the fact that we're born with this innate ability to sin that we can't overcome in our own power, then the only work we are capable of doing in our own power is work of sinfulness. The work that we do earns us a wage we deserve. The Bible says that sin earns us death. That's not just physical death, that's an eternal death and separation from God for all of eternity. Thankfully, though, the Bible doesn't leave us there. It's through the death of Jesus on the cross that we're given a better option. We're given hope for eternal life through Jesus. So how do we tap into this better option? We start by admitting that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We admit that we need a Savior, and then there's another step. That step is that we believe. John 3:16 in the New Living Translation says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." Acts 16:31 says, "They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household.'" What are we called to believe then is the question that we need to ask and ultimately answer. We're called to believe in the fact that Jesus is God's Son and that He was raised from the dead. So what does that mean? See, the belief that we're pointed to is more than a belief that God exists. Now, again, before you burn me at the stake, let me unpack that just a little bit. Many people believe that God exists. Followers of Islam believe that God exists. Mormons believe that God exists. The devil and his demons believe that God exists. But here's the problem. Belief that is not the answer. We say we believe that Santa exists. We believe that the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny exists. I believe that Bigfoot exists. But the problem is that belief that doesn't require concrete proof. I believe that my favorite football team will win, but I can't definitively prove that will happen. Let me just tell you, it's even worse as a Tennessee Volunteers fan. You can't. It's a toss-up. You just say your prayers and hope it all works out and hope that in hypo we trust, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, that's what they say, all the kids these days. But anyway, I believe that my favorite football team will win, but I can't definitively prove that will happen. I believe maybe that my chosen political party is the only answer, but even after 200 plus years as a nation, I still can't look at verifiable fact that there's any truth to that. I want you to understand something. Belief that is not the answer. Simpletons can believe that something is potentially true, even without supporting evidence. What we're talking about here is belief in something. This requires evidence, though. I believe in God because I see the evidence of His existence in the world around me. I believe that Jesus lived on this earth and ultimately died on a cross because it's a verifiable historical fact. I believe He was resurrected from the dead because there are many eyewitness accounts from independent sources. It's not enough to believe that Jesus can save. The difference, what we have to believe in Jesus for salvation. Some of you may be asking, well, what's the difference? The difference is, like I said, that believing in something requires proof and intellectual acceptance. I believe in Jesus for salvation because there is verifiable proof that His name is the only name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. Romans 5:8 says this. It says, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." We have to believe in the fact that Jesus is God's Son, sent here to die in our place. If we believe that God sent Jesus to pay the ultimate price for our sin, then we also have to believe that sin can't go unpunished. Because the wages of sin is death, then someone has to die for our sin. Let that sink in for a minute. Who could die for our sin? Well, there's really only two options. Either we're sentenced to death for our own sin, or the sentence is transferred to somebody else. We can only pay the price of sin on our own by being punished and placed in hell for all eternity. But Jesus came to earth to pay the price for our sins. Because he did this for us, we now have the opportunity to not only have our sins forgiven, but to spend eternity with him. In order to do this, we have to believe in what Jesus did on the cross. We can't save ourselves. We need a substitute to take our place. Jesus is that substitute. With that in mind, it's also important, I think, for us to understand that God doesn't want anyone to die in sin. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. It says, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." That's why he sent Jesus to die in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. It says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Jesus lived his entire life without sin so that he could die for the sins of others. And in doing so, he paid the price for your sin. We admit that Jesus died for our sin and the sin that has separated us from God. We believe that Jesus died to make it right. Then we confess our sins and commit to live our life for Christ. If we admit that we have sin in our life and we believe in the fact that Jesus' death on the cross is a sufficient remedy to the problem of sin in our lives, then the only logical response is to confess those sins to him. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." 1 John 1, 9 says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." So what does that mean? Jesus gave his life on the cross in exchange for yours. The reasonable response once we acknowledge that there's a problem is to confess the problem and seek the remedy. When we confess our sin, the sin in our lives, we change our status in the eyes of God. We're no longer condemned to death, but we stand as one who has been redeemed. When you confess the sin in your life and commit to live for Jesus and make him Lord, which by the way means complete control, you become part of God's family. And when we talk about this idea of committing, the way you live your life and the choices that you make will show just how committed you are to this relationship. You can't live like the world and be committed to a relationship with Jesus. Let me just tell you that. We have to admit that we're sinners and that we are in need of a Savior. We have to believe in the fact that Jesus is God's Son and that he was raised from the dead. And we have to confess our sins and commit to living our lives for God. I know that there are people here today that needed to know how to have a relationship with Jesus. Here's the thing, you now have that information in front of you. And so you have two choices. C.S. Lewis proposed this. He said Jesus was one of three things. He was either a complete liar because he knew that he wasn't God and he said that he was. He was a lunatic because he didn't know that he was God. He didn't know that he wasn't God, but he still said that he was. Or he's Lord. He is God. because he claimed that he was God, and we have evidence that he is God. But here's what C.S. Lewis proposes in relation to that thought. You have to come to this conclusion. You have two choices when it all comes down to it. You can either accept that information or you can reject it. Here's what we need to understand about accepting that information. Everyone, Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not might be saved or could be saved. Says will be saved. But here's what we need to understand about this idea of rejecting. It goes back to where we started. The wages of sin is death. So what will you do this morning? We're going to close with a song, which I did not pick. How about Because He Lives? We'll just close with that. And this morning, as we close, I want you to understand that now is the time to make a decision. Not tomorrow, not the day after that. We don't have any promise of tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Here's the thing that I also want to propose. I'm a pretty simple guy when it comes to interacting in the mind and thinking and that kind of thing. But this is what I want you to understand. You may not be stomping your feet and shaking your fist in the face of God and saying, I will never serve you. But here's what you need to know. Every decision that you make, every single decision that you make, from the smallest decision to the biggest decision, determines whether or not you're accepting or rejecting Christ. Every single decision, from the smallest to the biggest. And so this morning, you may not be shaking your fist in the face of God and saying, I'll never serve you. But if you choose not to, it's just as good as rejecting Him. It's the same exact thing as stomping your feet and shaking your fist and saying, bless God, I will never serve you. So this morning, I want us to understand that there's a better option. It's simple. Admit that you're a sinner and you're sorry for breaking God's law. Believe in the fact that Jesus died to pay the price for your sin. And confess your sins and commit to live a life for Jesus. So we're going to sing together. And as we sing together, I want you to know that the altar is open. And I know this is not a, you know, Thanksgiving into Christmas kind of sermon, but there's no better time to get your affairs in order than right here and right now. And so I want us to understand something. God is more than willing to accept you into His kingdom. See, we talked about very early on in this sermon that when we are in sin, when we find ourselves in sin, we are under the dominion of the kingdom of darkness. But here's what's cool about when you come to Christ. You become a citizen of a new kingdom. You become a child of the King, and your name is now written down in the book of life. And you're no longer a citizen of this kingdom of darkness. You are now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what it's really all about this morning. So we're going to stand this morning and sing together. And if you need to come and ask Jesus into your life, there's no better place than right here and right now to do that. But I want to take that one step further because I don't want to let the rest of us off the hook. You're welcome. If you've got something in your life this morning that's maybe not where it needs to be, maybe you've got a relationship that's on the rocks. Maybe you've got an addiction that you're dealing with. Maybe you've got some bitterness or anger or hatred in your life. Let me tell you, that's just as bad as anything else. So why don't we deal with those things here today? Why don't we take a opportunity to deal with God? Because He lives, we have the opportunity to face tomorrow, but it's only when we live in Him that opportunity really matters. So let's stand this morning together as we're able, and we're going to sing this together.
He called Him Jesus.
we sing this second verse, I want to remind you that you don't have to go into tomorrow hoping. You don't have to go into tomorrow on a whim, just assuming that it might be okay. The second verse says we can face uncertain days because we know that God reigns. Do you have a relationship with Him this morning that allows you to face those uncertain days because you know who still is on the throne and who holds tomorrow? That's the question that I want to ask you this morning. And if you don't, then why not? What are you waiting on? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from serving God the way that you need to serve God? Why don't you tap into that assurance? Why don't you step into that light and out of that darkness and know that you can serve a God that allows us to face these days of uncertainty because He's on the throne and He knows exactly what's going to happen and is with us every step of the way. So if you're in that boat this morning, we're gonna sing this whole song. So we've got all day. We can sing more verses if we need to. It doesn't bother me. I'm salaried. I don't get paid by the hour. So what I'm saying is this. God is moving in our midst. God is speaking to hearts. Don't let this moment pass you by. Let's sing together. How sweet to us, there's coming a day where every knee, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow to Jesus and proclaim that He is Lord of all. The question that we have to answer is whether that's something we'll be forced to do because of the fact that we stand in opposition to Him, or whether that'll be something that we are honored to do because we stand in the kingdom of heaven. And so this morning, as we sing this last verse, it says, then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory and I'll know He reigns. Here's what I want us to understand this morning. This is not derogatory in any way, shape, or form, but as I look out over the congregation, I see a lot of gray hair. See a lot of white heads. And what I mean by that is I see people who have been around for a little while. I see people who are just the facts of life entering into that stage of where you're going to cross this final war with pain. Don't let this moment pass you by. I don't care if you're 6 or if you're 106. God is still in the business of saving and answering prayers. God is still in the business of working in the lives of His people regardless of age. It doesn't matter if you're 30 or if you're 130. God still wants you. He wants the time that you have left on this earth to be able to use it for Him. So we're going to sing this morning this last song. And maybe as we get to this chorus, if that's your claim, if you can say, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, then just give God a praise offering. How about that? Let's sing this last verse together. And then Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that life is worth the living because you live. It's not because of anything we've done or because of anything that we can have in our own power, but because of the fact that you are a conquering king, that you conquered death, you conquered hell, you conquered the grave. And because of that, life is worth the living. God, this morning, and I pray that you would help us to celebrate that. That we would celebrate the fact that we are citizens of another kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and that we have our names written down in the book of glory. Father, if there's one here this morning that doesn't have a relationship with you, Father, I pray that you would pour out your conviction on their life and that you would do whatever it takes to get their attention before it's too late. Father God, this morning as we leave this place, I pray that you would help us to take this message of salvation into a world that so desperately needs to hear it. God, that we would proclaim this message from the mountaintops and in the valleys even. God, that we would proclaim that you are God, that you are good, and that there is only one name under heaven whereby which we can be saved. Father, as we leave this place today, I pray that you would keep us safe. Lead us, guide us, and direct us in the days to come. God, help us to walk worthy of our relationship with you. For everything you do for us, we'll be very careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.